Lightly on the Ground Radio, produced at Richmond Independent Radio and broadcast on WRIR LP 97.3 FM and worldwide at WRIR.org. We're exploring our food system, which includes everything from farm to table. It extends from a seed in a farmer's hand to a bill in the hands of those making policy on the local, national, and worldwide fronts. We focus on growing and sustaining our food system, and while we're talking local, the ideas are pertinent to any food system. I'm Sunny Gardner, host and producer, and around the 1st of March, I was sitting around with a half dozen or so farming men and women, and we had just finished a workshop where Chris Mullins at Virginia State University taught us to graft tomato plants. Virginia Cooperative Extension, that's VCE, the Virginia Association for Biological Farming, the VABF, and Virginia State University, Virginia State, had won some competitive grant money to do a research project. And the goal was to learn whether it's cost-effective to graft delicious tomato varieties onto hardier, more disease-resistant rootstock. This is an example of our tax money at work for the good of people from the farm to the table. In the room with me were Charlie Maloney of Dayspring Farm, Nancy and Leroy Hardy of Hardy Family Farm, Alistair Harris of Origins, Dan Gagnon of Broad Fork Farm, Casey Gustawaro from Potomac Vegetable Farms, and Chris Mullins, an extension specialist at Virginia State University. A few days later, I was to be on my way to D.C. to talk with our Congress members, so I asked these representative farmers about what they see as government's role in agriculture. Many programs that had benefited agriculture, especially small farms, were stranded by Congress's year-end gridlock, and the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition was working on fixing the problem. Let me give you a little background. Every 5 years, Congress devises a new farm bill. It's a way of creating economic opportunities and investing in the future of American agriculture. It's how our government helps create jobs in rural areas, encourages producers to create and develop new markets, and lends a hand to the next generation of farmers. These are, admittedly, national priorities. In 2012, the Senate and the House Agriculture Committees both passed farm bills that reflected this. Despite that fact, the last-minute extension passed by Congress left many programs unfunded. These include value-added producer grants, the Rural Energy for America program, Farmers Market Promotion Program, and the Beginning Farmer and Rancher Development Program. One of the quirks is that the Conservation Stewardship Program was unintentionally cut, and that money is in limbo. So NSAC organized this farmer fly-in and asked that we each make appointments to meet with the agriculture legislative aide each of our senators and representatives has on staff. NSAC staff told us about the issues we were to address, and they included the programs that were left stranded. Many, or most of these issues, named or described by the farmers I was sitting with here, were the very same programs with which NSAC was concerned. Listen to the voices of some of our family farmers as they tell what is important to those who live and work on the small family-owned farms. And consider speaking with your legislators about what you think and what you learn from these people. Toward the end of the recording, Nancy Hardy suggested a new slogan for farming in light of the health care reform. What do you think about preventive health care begins on the farm as a way of connecting the dots between what we eat and the cost of health? I told these farmers what I was about to do and asked them what they would like for us to speak about when we go and visit our elected representatives. Here's the conversation. Silence. I mean, are you concerned about GMOs? Are you concerned about the funding that goes through the USDA to farmers? Are you concerned about particular crops and supports?
Would you rather see more, a lot of times, universities and nonprofits and things are really can be the recipients of a lot of grants. Would you rather see more things like the SARE producer grants, more things that are more available to producers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely
do. Yeah, that's something I think of is more support for research in sustainable agriculture that comes through the SARE, but also comes through the land grant universities as well, that there be more funding. Be funding available for that.
I think it'd be very helpful, getting more and more young and new farmers into this, building the local food system. So I know there are some young farmer programs or young and new farmer programs, but just continuing with those and continuing to help people with access to land and getting started and being able to potentially purchase land. So just making sure that those programs continue and possibly augmenting them as well.
That is one of them that was most in danger, the beginning farmer and rancher program. Mm-hmm.
Which, right, I feel like was actually could serve a lot more, never mind the program getting cut, but it was sort of a basic program that, I mean, could be expanded 10 times over to help people get started, in my opinion. Micro loans, you know, not having to go through that whole huge loan process through FSA and get maybe a quicker, more streamlined process. And I think that was something that was possibly getting introduced into the Farm Bill, but I don't know where that stands. But that seemed like a good idea. So people could take out a loan for a hoop house or a tractor without a whole lot of bureaucratic paperwork.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that's already being changed. That's already available. The micro loans, through FSA.
Oh, okay.
That was recent that it became available in the last few weeks or so.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Was that part of that extension, that Farm Bill extension thing?
Yes,
that
it was.
It's not like to continue funding and outreach toward limited resource, small, beginning, minority farmers.
Mm-hmm.
Continue to fund that. That's very important.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know if anything's been done on increasing skills and knowledge and capacity with farm workers or farm laborers. There seems to be quite a bit of investment, some at least, going into new and beginner farmers. But I find it hard to find interested, qualified, skilled employees. And so is there a way to increase the education of those who are interested in working on small farms?
Mm-hmm.
It seems like those who are skilled and have experience get sucked into commercial ag and working on larger farms because they can firstly pay better maybe, but they have better benefits, and so there's more reason to go into that.
And so if we hire them and train them ourselves, then they get hired away?
Well, is there whether through universities or extension services, a possibility to train more people, not only to be farmers per se, but to be laborers on farms also? Beyond what we already all do in skilling people that we employ.
Mm-hmm. The matter, I think, is that is the aging out, I think, of a lot of farmers, and there's projections that there's going to become a lot of farmland that's going to be in danger of being lost, because a lot of there's coming up, already is present, but coming up a lot of farmland that's going to become potentially available for other types of use. And so assistance with helping to keep farmland in farmland, which involves all these other kind of things as well. There got to be people to do it, so there needs, that's part of the problem, I think, is having enough farm workers, but just the challenges, that I think aging farmers and farming families have, is the farmland is worth a lot more for other types of use than farmland, and so that's the way the market kind of works against the keeping farms in farms. And so that seems to me a perfect place for government to be of some help. I don't know how they would do that exactly, of course, but that's certainly, there's got to be some ways of wrapping our minds around. I mean, there's easements and things, and sort of things are already in place. But
and the zoning thing, it's like being zoned agriculture is the lowest possible zoning, and so they want to raise it to development.
Yeah.
I think more advocacy for the small farm. Education and awareness toward the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking of something like a campaign slogan where, especially where healthcare is on this mad I guess, on this edge. But I was thinking healthcare begins on the farm. Mm-hmm. So something whereas, you know, we can have more push for the small farmers, mm-hmm. and for marketability, mm-hmm. where people can come back to the farm and, you know, not so much as toward the big box stores.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You want us, when are you going? When are you going up?
I think we're leaving Sunday and we'll come back Tuesday. We're going to be training on Monday, maybe meeting on Monday afternoon, and then Tuesday we'll be having meetings, hopefully,
okay.
The 4th and 5th.
We could email you some thoughts.
Please do, yeah. And I know that the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition has a training they're going to do with us, but I just wanted to hear from you all what is relevant to you individually.
Work the committees, whatever committee it is, mm-hmm. work the committees, as mm-hmm. well as your local person.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about, I mean, the slogan that, you know, Big Ag often uses is, you know, that we need, that, you know, we feed the world, you know, and I what I think of is I'd like for there to be another slogan that we feed our communities,
yes.
you know, or something,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
We feed our communities, or we feed something.
Yeah, I mean, we're feeding the world, but only one mouth at a time.
Yeah,
one family,
which kind of gets
time.
That again, just to recognize, you know, recognizing the already the value, I think, of what small farmers are doing, but to increase the capacity, I think, for that by giving it more recognition. I think we're still regarded, by and large, by the powers to be as being, you know, more of a little niche kind of specialty thing than not, mm-hmm. and so and that's changing, but you know the powers could be could help with this, I think, mm-hmm. in giving more that this is a viable part of agriculture that is growing and could benefit from some support to grow. So
yeah.
Yes, you have to, people have to be converted. Something has to happen. So you have to present something to them and kind of leave it. They got to be educated, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like one of the things I did is I dropped Food Inc., got it at dollar store for $2-3, and I spread it around. It's kind of old and dated, and it's some better thing. But I gave it to Dr. Jewell.
He's speaking of Dr. Jewell Hairston, the dean of the School of Agriculture at Virginia State University.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she still thanks me for that.
Yeah.
You know,
probably changed the way
thing,
she eats.
Yeah, the way she views this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to do is the people that are in position of influence and make the decisions and power, they are the ones we have to go and we have to convert them. Mm-hmm. We can sit down and talk about our problems all day long.
We're the choir.
Right. You know, but you have to do that.
Yeah.
And I believe that's what I'm called to do. I believe that's my purpose in there. Part of it is to help wake up people.
I have a little faith, I say. Have a little faith, my friend. We got to help each other through thick and thin. These are trying times. We're living in. Have a little faith, I say. Have a little faith, my friend. We got trouble everywhere around the world. There's not a safe place to be for any woman, man, boy, or girl. And everywhere you turn, there's destruction and pain. You get a mouthful of promises and a hat full of rain. Just have a little faith, I say. Have a little faith, my friend. We got to help each other through thick and thin. These are trying times that we're living in. Have a little faith, I say. Have a little faith, my friend. There's evil to rise above, got to fight the good fight, win that war with love. Hold on
One more thing, just in my understanding, one of the biggest portions, or the biggest portions of the Farm Bill is going towards food stamps. And food stamps are currently used to benefit often large corporations, Walmart and Coca-Cola and all of the Frito-Lay and all of these companies, because what are food stamps in general used for? To buy food that really is not food. Mm-hmm. So if we can change, in my opinion, it's not really food. So if we can change the way those food stamps are used to actually buy fresh, nutritious food and support our local communities by supporting farmers, and then that, you know, so that's a big change. But if food stamps can be used in a way that is actually buying real food and supporting local farmers and local communities, then I think that will potentially, by changing the consumers, then that will change a big scheme of things. And I mean, there are currently some systems where you can double your dollars at the farmer's market. So if those systems were improved and increased and more information got out to the communities that are utilizing food stamps, mm-hmm. which there are a lot, that there are farmer's markets that they can buy food at, and I think that would begin to change that system, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. 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 You know, the Birdhouse Market does that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are many in D.C., or there are some that are mm-hmm. doing it in D.C.
Yeah,
because most of your farmers markets, I know we've tried to get into that system. The senior coupons is a good thing.
Right.
We redeemed those. And then the EBT, a lot of the markets now have the access there that you can, you know, to increase. And I think there's been some push at a state level to try to encourage it and answer in, as a resolution to the food insecurity in the food deserts.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that, you know, somebody's got to be advocating. Somebody even told me the other day that WIC, there's something happening with WIC. I haven't been able to trick.
Savannah Williams has been working on that for decades.
Right. So, yeah. Somebody's got to advocate.
So, I mean, the people that are advocating for food stamps right now are those big corporations. They're the ones who are saying that food stamps are a great, wonderful thing. But the current food stamp system is, in some ways, not working to, I mean, look at obesity and diabetes rates in our populations and in the food desert. So I think it needs to be looked at and addressed and how it's actually working.
Yeah, more education for those people. Mm-hmm. You got to get them out of the desert to the markets too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which is part of the social challenge, I think, is that I think more and more people are discovering and learning about the fact that they can use EBT at farmers markets. As hard as they get access to those markets, mm-hmm. more than often they, in my experience with the farmers markets that I've been at, it's a lot harder for those who are on the EBT system to get to those markets.
Mm-hmm.
They might know about it, but it's a much harder chance to get in there. So then there should be more advocacy and plans for shifting where farmers markets are set up. And we as producers should sort of play into that also in encouraging whether it's farmers themselves who start a market in a certain neighborhood and says, well, let's take the food to the people.
Mm-hmm.
So besides the fact that there could be some legislation and policy development, there should be a ground up and grassroots movement for us as producers in pushing certain agendas also within communities where we know that there's funds available for people to use that come from government, but how do we make it that we are there and they can use it with us, as opposed to just going to the boutique markets that we get a lot of customers from.
Yeah, and it's got to be a purposeful thing, because we're looking at that. You know, our thing has always been feed ourselves, try to feed the children and the elderly. And if I can sell stuff to the boutique folks, if they pay me enough that I can take some of that money and use it to help, that's kind of what we're trying to do. I can't say we're successful, but one place I know that we can look when you're looking at how to get that food into the community is the churches, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, setting up markets there. But another thing I'm exploring and working with down in our neck of the woods is the redevelopment and housing authorities.
Mm-hmm.
They all have centers. They have access to the people living in them. And, you know, one of our vice mayor at one point told me, said, the most influential
powerful agency in any city is the redevelopment housing. I said, what do you mean? He said, because that one agency affects the lives of so many people. And so that's what got me looking at the redevelopment and housing. But there again, that's federal and it's bureaucratic. You kind of got to work through it. But so if I'm more successful, y'all hear about it. But that's what we're trying to get, that we can come and set up. Here in Virginia, the seniors, like, they're at someplace center right now eating. Mm-hmm. Martin Luther King Center in Franklin. You know, I would go up there one day a week, bring my stuff, set up right there in there. You know, go to the senior housing things. You know, so I mean, we didn't get rich, but you know, if you got the senior coupons, EBT, it's money.
Well, that's the thing. We had difficulty trying to track down how to get into the EBT system. We haven't been able to yet.
Yeah.
Nobody knew. You know, social services didn't know. So you know, just different agencies didn't know. So we're still on the trail and trying to figure out how to do the EBT system.
Well, we all have been very generous.
Have a little faith, my friend. We've got to help each other through thick and thin. These are trying times that we're living in. Have a little faith, I say. Have a little faith, my friend. There's evil all around us. We've got to rise above. We've got to fight the good. I can feel it today. I have a little faith, I say. Have a little faith, my friend. We got to help each other through thick and thin. These are trying times that we're living in. Oh, have a little faith, I say. Have a little faith, my friend.
For 60 farmers descended on Capitol Hill on March 5th and 6th for the NSAC farmer fly-in. While I was there, I met a Catholic cattleman from North Dakota with 12 children who knows the science of why GE corn is bad for cows and therefore those of us up the food chain. I met an organic vegetable grower who feeds a CSA of up to 800 families and built a co-housing community on a hilly part of her property. And I met an irreverent rancher from Arkansas who wears a bolo and a black 10-gallon hat and looks like a tall Johnny Depp. So we met with those legislative aides I mentioned earlier, and they listened to our concerns and promised to carry them to their legislators. Two things can be generalized from our conversations. One is that they are very concerned about what their constituents say, and not so much about what those who don't directly vote for them have to say, at this point in their careers anyway. And secondly, they pride themselves on being for conservation. Our job now, and that includes you, the concerned listener, is to help them understand that conservation includes lots of things. Conserving genetic diversity, saving and perpetuating small family-owned farms near urban centers, promoting sustainable agriculture as a source of jobs. They would do well to understand that the economics behind the statement, "health care begins on the farm," are real and vital to the security of our communities and to our nation. Our legislators are, probably to a man and to a woman, planning on rising to higher office. Their voting records will follow them all their days. So even if you are not in Representative Jones' district now, you may be when she runs for Senate or President. And we will remember how she stood on matters of consequence as a freshman in Congress. Speak your truth to those who are making choices for what we all have to live with.
Have a little faith, I say. Have a little faith, my friend. We got trouble everywhere around the world. There's not a safe place to be for any woman, man, boy, or girl. You turn, there's destruction and pain. You get a mouth full of promises and a hat full of rain. Just have a little faith, I say. Have a little faith, my friend. We got to help each other through thick and thin. These are trying times that we're living.
I'm Sunny Gardner, host and producer of Lightly on the Ground Radio at Richmond Independent Radio on WRIR. And did you know that WRIR is a totally volunteer operation? We depend on you, the listener, for over 70% of our operations budget. Please contribute by navigating to WRIR.org and click on the donate button. Tell them Sonny sent you. The theme music is Bonefire Dance by Rattlemouth. The incidental music was Mavis Staples reminding us to have a little faith. Befriend us on Facebook so you'll know who will be on the show and when podcasts are available, and so you can participate in the discussion. I'll see you on the radio again in a couple of weeks. Until then, walk in the light and live lightly on the ground. Thank you for listening.